Good morning, everybody. Hannah Stanley with you tonight, filling in for Nick DiGilio. I'm so excited I get to be with you guys. I'm trying to count. I think I've been, I've filled in for Nick 3 out of 5 shows or something, which is pretty, that's big. It's huge. I appreciate Nick taking time off because it's nice to, this is one of those shifts where you're like 2 to 5 a.m. and people say, you're crazy. And then I think, but I get to talk to you guys. How can I be crazy? I love this audience. So thank you for listening. And I can't wait to get to talk to you guys. The number 312-981-7200. You can call in or text in. It is the same number. Curtis Cook is with me, and this is our first time working together.
Yes. Hello. Good morning.
Hello and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're newish to WGN.
I am very newish to WGN. Fresh out of college.
Yes.
And working overnights with you, obviously. Yeah. I also help out with Dave Plyer. That's my normal shift. And
yes.
I also help out with the Blackhawks, too.
Those are all horrible people you get to work with.
I know. Chris Bowden. And
no one
Dave
likes
and...
Dave Plyer. No one. Chris Bowden is the worst human. No,
No, everybody's super
Everybody's really nice here.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's really happy to be here.
Good, good. I'm very happy to hear that. It is, it's a place where it's hard to get into because there's nobody leaves.
So yeah, that's true.
So when you get a job here, you're like, this is so great. Everybody's so nice. We all really like each other.
Yeah, and I'm still learning everybody's name. So if I screw up somebody who may be working here who
I answer to a lot of things because there's my age, which is in the middle ages. No, I'm in my 40s. There's no other Hannahs. Mm-hmm. There are just none. And so everybody. So growing up, I answered to Heather, Heidi. I got Anna a lot, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But so I answer to anything.
I was going to say the most, I guess, similarities in terms of my name is just Kurt.
Yeah.
So that's usually
it. But you fully prefer Curtis?
Either one. For me, it doesn't matter. Kurt, okay. Curtis. I had teachers that called me Kurt just because it was easier for them to remember. Mm-hmm. I had my friends call me Kurt. It doesn't matter to me at all. You can call me Curtis, Kurt, whatever.
My son's name is Grayson. And for a while, my husband was like, no, we'll call him Grayson until he's like older. And then we'll call him Gray. And then he turned like 3 and it was just Gray all the time. And then he went to school and he fully prefers Grayson.
Interesting.
Unless it's like his really good friends, mm-hmm. and then they can call him Gray.
Yeah, a lot of people, because my middle name's Mitchell, so it's kind of like the same thing. People will either be like, well, if you were Mitchell, would you prefer Mitch or Mitchell? And I was like, I don't know. I mean,
you're not a
maybe if I
family.
Was younger, maybe Mitch, but yeah. Now that if I'd be older, Mitchell's just fine. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I don't really care. Just
you can't
as long
really shorten
as,
Hannah.
Yeah, I guess just as long as you're professional and not so much a jerk about how you are talking to people, then I don't have a problem with what you call me.
Hey, Vic, are you Vic or are you...
Birth certificate is Victor.
Victor.
I just got shortened over the years.
Well, that's
friends
a military thing, too. Isn't it?
Like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nicknames
We're
in
busy.
The military.
We don't have time for Victor.
Yeah. Yeah, right, right.
What's
everything,
the Vector,
we
Victor?
Die, we there's live and a, die by the clock, so it's
right.
Vic.
Oh, my God. And Esmeralda, is that short for anything?
Yes. It's just too long for this hour. So.
Esmeralda will have the Della. Yes, Esmeraldella. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My niece's name is Aubrey, but we extend it, and I say it's Aubriella.
Interesting.
Like Cinderella. I don't know. It's a thing. So, Curtis, welcome to WGN.
Thank you very much.
That's Esmeralda Leon. She does traffic. I think you know her.
I do. Okay. I was with her on Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's good. And
talking.
then Vic
Christmas
Vaughn.
Christmas traditions, yes.
He's my favorite news guy.
Don't heard it here first.
Don't tell anybody else. Vic is full on the most interesting man in the world. At some point, did I tell you this the other day, Vic, that I want to do a segment or like an hour or like a day on like Vic's stories? Because every once in a while you drop these like little like,
I never really thought about it until people started jokingly telling me that I'm the most interesting newsman. Well, I never really thought about it, but I guess, you know, I've been around a little bit, so you rack up stories when you do that.
You have military history, so we, one, appreciate that, but two, there's definitely stories in that. But every once in a while, you drop these little nuggets on Facebook, and I was like, you what? You went looking for Natalie Holloway? Oh, okay, sure, that's normal. Everybody did that. That's,
yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. I still remember the call. It was 3 a.m. I got a call from a guy I worked with and said there was a girl missing in the island where we were working. We were doing counter-narcotics, counter-terrorism surveillance in that area. And I got a call saying there was a girl missing in Aruba, an American girl, and we were going to help in the effort. And turns out it was Natalie Holloway, yeah, which at the time was just another name, you know. But
right.
It did, yeah.
It became quite a name.
Yeah, it sure did.
I also like that in the telling of that story, in those two sentences, you use the phrase counter-narcotics and counter something else. And
counter-terrorism surveillance.
Sure. Those are things that I usually say. Never.
Why would you? You know, unless you're in that line of work, it's just not something you talk about every day.
But this is why in the hallways we say Vic Vaughn is the most interesting man in the world.
So. It's been a fun life so far. Hopefully the last half is just as fun.
Well, I am happy that we all get to spend some time with you. And again, here's what we're going to be talking about. We have a very, very packed, robust 3 hours ahead of us. I get to be here with you guys until 5 a.m. when the opening bell takes over. And then Pete McMurray is filling in for the morning show for Steve Cochran. So hopefully Pete slides in a little early so I can high-five him on my way out. Here's what's happening. I have not been around a lot of news because it's been the holidays and we've been busy and getting things done and having people over. But there have been some really, really great feel-good stories. Couple of them I'm going to share with you. And then I want you guys to let us know if you've heard great feel-good stories also. Sometimes, you know, I love it when people donate the gold coins to the Salvation Army. Things that you see on the news or read or hear about on Facebook and you're like, I'm so glad I read that. That's what I want to talk about. There's a lot of negativity. Yes, Christmas has been a wonderful time for many, but let's bring it up. So 312-981-7200, if you have feel-good stories, we are going to start with three that I think are just amazing. One's local, one's in Milwaukee, and one is in Minneapolis. So all pretty close. That's going to be next when we come back on WGN. Hannah Stanley filling in for Nick DiGilio. Be right back. Hannah Stanley tonight filling in for Nick DiGilio. I'll be with you guys until 5 a.m. and so happy to get to talk to you again. This is going to be my third time in 1 week. That's very, very nice to get to talk to you guys. I love this shift. I don't blame Nick for doing this shift as his full-time shift. I think he would choose this if given an option.
That'd be his first choice. Priority
sure.
number one.
Yeah.
Over everything else.
Yeah, quality
shift.
Of life,
yeah,
daylight, vitamin D. No, I will tell you, though, this shift is the best listeners. They really, and everybody's like, oh, and why do you say that all the time?
Well, you know, it's funny, not a lot of people, I guess, would think that at 2 o'clock in the morning, people would be listening, but there are a lot of people out there that listen.
A lot of people. No, I posted on Facebook that I was going to be on from 2 to 5, and people were like, oh, yay, I get to listen to you while I'm at work, or driving in, or but it's really, really nice. And there's so many dedicated Nick listeners, and
well,
I appreciate
them. We were talking
them.
Before the show that there's that range of people who are, like, their kids are up, and they can't fall back asleep.
Yeah.
There's the Christmas. Yeah, people cleaning up after the big Christmas parties, or if you have work today, you're just getting up probably within the next hour or so, about to catch the train or about to drive in. So
yeah, and
it's all of those groups of people.
I really appreciate Nick's listeners for being so welcoming to me over the past this past week and also the past several years when I've been able to sit in for him. I appreciate it. We are talking about feel-good stories. I have a couple. Actually, I have three for sure. Four. I have four feel-good stories. We're going to get to all of them. But I want to know what yours have been. What are the stories that you have made? Like, that made my season. That made my Christmas day. That made whatever. And it can be quick. And if it's one of mine, that's great. That just means that we're like-minded. 312-981-7200. We're taking your calls. We're taking your texts. The voice you hear talking with me is Curtis Cook. He is relatively new to the WGN family, so be gentle with him.
Yeah, don't hurt me.
He's new and we like him, and he's playing good music. So here is a story that I just saw today. It was printed a couple of days ago in the Chicago Tribune. But it actually happened today. This has been 47 years. A local family has been going to La Rabida Children's Hospital on Christmas Day. This man dressed as Santa. Michael Mezzero's father used to dress as Santa for years and years. They're a Jewish family. And so on Christmas, they weren't doing anything. This was their off day, if you will. And they, his dad used to go and put on the Santa suit and go to La Rabida, and make sure that he brought the joy of Christmas to the kids who were in the hospital.
Yeah. Doesn't that say something about like character, you know, somebody who isn't associated with
that particular religion.
Spending that sort of time to go ahead and, you know, bring joy to others. That says a lot, at least about the person's character, in my opinion.
Without question. And I guess Michael, when he was a young boy, said that he would always ask his dad, when I'm an old man and you're a little boy, will I get to play Santa? Which is just such a sweet little thing for a little boy to not necessarily grasp what's happening age-wise, but realize that that was something he could step into.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, his father, suffered from Lou Gehrig's disease and passed away in 2015. And so Michael, who is now an adult in mm-hmm. his own right, has continued to carry this on. So now 47 years running, a member of their family has gone to La Rabida Children's Hospital. And so he went today on the back of a fire truck and dressed as Santa, dozens of patients from infant to age 18, and they all get excited about Santa coming to visit them.
Yeah, that's amazing. And the other thing, too, is that you just mentioned 47 straight years.
Yes.
That's, first off, dedication.
It is. And some of those years, Hanukkah coincides with Christmas. So it's not always like a free day.
That's what I was just about to bring up, too, is that the coincidence between the two holidays right about the same time and still able to, you know, spend that sort of day. I mean, just mentioned it earlier, the character that family is amazing.
Yeah. I apologize. I made a mistake. His father passed away last year. So he was unable to continue as Santa in 2015. And so Michael, the son, took over in 2015. And then they lost him in May of 2016. So just a year and a half ago, they lost his father, Paul. And now Michael has his own son, who is named Henry Paul, who hope that he will take over the reins one day himself.
That'll be amazing. And then, can you imagine if that gets to like 100 years?
Oh my God.
They're already halfway there.
I know. I want to be like, here's my number. In case you can't make it one year, I'll go.
Yeah,
we can't stop doing this.
If we can fill in for Nick DiGilio, we can fill in for that family.
Yes. He's quoted as saying, I've seen exactly what Santa Claus does for these children. Santa Claus, the spirit. I've literally seen kids who have difficulty walking run to see Santa Claus. And that is an experience you cannot duplicate.
Amazing.
I know. Apparently, the Mezzeros celebrate the Santa side of Christmas as well as Hanukkah. So December 25th is a day full of rituals that they share, sacred and secular, as Christians around the world commemorate the birth of Jesus. The Mezzeros fulfill central tenets of their faith, serving others and celebrating family. That is a big pillar in much of the Jewish religion, but very specific parts of that, you're really supposed to serve others.
We got a text from a 406 area code. They got a video to FaceTime their twin grandbabies today.
That's a feel good.
That is a feel good.
Thank you. If you can text back and tell us how old they are, that would be wonderful. Thank you. And maybe their names and their birth weight. No.
Give us all the details.
You can tell the moms.
Just their names.
The moms are on the air. My husband's like, oh, my coworker had a baby. And I'm like, okay, boy or girl?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know.
Name? Everything.
No. Okay.
Nothing.
Everything. All right. Maybe someplace I could send a card. Nothing. Okay. So I love the story. So thank you for sending in that feel good story. Again, we are taking texts and calls at 312-981-7200 of feel good stories, things that made you happy. You actually turned on the news or opened a newspaper or happened to be scrolling through Facebook when you were avoiding family contact.
Personally, one of my good friends, his family's been struggling a little bit just recently. His dad's been in and out of jobs, and he works as a producer up in South Dakota, but he came home, and his mom's not only got diabetes, his mom's also got leukemia, and he took her on like a overnight like city tour. They went to
Michael Garron.
Yes, exactly. Okay,
I'm friends with Michael Garron.
Yes, Michael Garron is one of my good friends too, and Bill, his father.
Yes, he's wonderful.
Yeah, the whole family is wonderful. That's one of the more recent feel good stories.
That
I've
is, had. And okay, let's talk more about this because didn't their community come together and
yeah,
like pool money for them to be able to do this?
If you're a Cubs fan out there, there is a gentleman out in the Lake in the Hills area who he runs Club 400, which is basically, if you don't know about it, look it up. It's basically he's got this big, giant Cubs man cave in his basement. And he also, the whole Cubs fan community, and I guess the motto for the Club 400 is Cubs fans helping Cubs fans. Well, Bill's motto with one of his good friends is people helping people. So they have like that same motto, and I guess they were able to raise $2,500 to help that family, because not only does Bill have the one son, but with the struggles with his wife and everything like that, they also have three adopted children, one of which is on a wheelchair and needs care 24 hours around the clock with nurses.
They're a remarkable family.
They are. Definitely a remarkable family. So shout out to Bill Garron and Michael Garron and the Garron
family. I can't believe all of a sudden that you just happened to be randomly talking about a mutual friend that we didn't know we had. That's wonderful. So I actually just texted him while you were talking. He said, we're talking about you on air right now. That was a feel good.
Yeah, we got a text back from the 408 about their names. They are two. Their names are Victor and Emmy.
That's adorable. Another Victor. That's wonderful. And my dog is named Emmy, but sometimes people are like, oh, I named my dog that. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. My dog is like my next kid. So that's high praise.
Same thing.
So
I love I think everybody's family. I know,
so.
At least with my family.
And
too.
As we look at Steve Dale and he nods approvingly because he's like, yes, they should be family members. That's entirely important. We are going to continue taking your calls and texts during the news. But I want to do another quick story that I read that just warmed my heart. 11-year-old girl sews 500 bags and fills them with presents for children in need. 11. She's 11 years old. One of my favorite quotes about this, and by the way, this story comes to us from Milwaukee. She says, I've been doing charity work since I was 7 years old, and I always wanted to learn how to sew. Because since I was 7 seems so long ago for an 11-year-old. So she learned how to create these fabric bags with shoulder straps and got donated samples from local fabric stores. So she made these bags, all of these 500 bags, and then filled them with gifts to give to children who are in need. So as a 6th grader, she was able to inspire others through her caring for others and how she lives her every day. One of the community activists is quoted as saying most girls her age are hanging out with friends, but Sonia is drawn to those without. And last spring, she organized a collection of hundreds of cartons of disposable diapers.
Yeah.
For to give to needy mothers. And she's also used her charity. She's 11.
Her own charity.
Yeah. To collect donations to fund area food shelves. But this was her largest giveaway to date. She and several friends handed out fabric bags to the children housed at Sharing and Caring Hands in Minneapolis. So this is a Minneapolis story, although it was reported in Milwaukee, the good land. The good land, yes. 500 hand-sewn bags were filled with donated presents, books, and school supplies. She says, I have an urge to help people because we should all be treated equally.
That's amazing.
She's 11.
Well, you know what I was doing at 11? I was playing video games.
I was going to say.
GameCube. And, you know, it's funny because you look at all the different, you know, it seems like every younger generation seems to get involved with something, you know, just as, you know, early as, you know, and then me as a 23-year-old, I look back, what was I doing at 11? Why wasn't I doing something like that? And then it just makes me wonder what I'm doing.
We do. I mean, we take our kids to go do charitable things. And,
yeah.
But this is, that's her. That, whoever her parents are, and they've raised her well, obviously, but that's something that comes from within. So thank you, Sonia, for that wonderful story that I could share with everybody else. Any other feel-good stories? I've got one more for sure. No, two more. I have two more, but I want to make sure we bring everybody else yours as well. 312-981-7200. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Nick DiGilio, and I'm going to turn you right over to news.
This is Cammie. Cammie was born unable to walk or even speak, but that hasn't stopped her from smiling. When Cammie heard, "What's your goal?" her parents said nothing would make her happier than to score a goal with an assist from her favorite player, me. Well, I've got a surprise for Cammie. We're going to teach her how to skate for the very first time.
Hello.
That,
oh,
Cammie. That is the Cammie Can, What's Your Goal video. The Blackhawks released that, I think, 2 years ago. It might have been three.
Yeah,
one,
it was,
I love.
March 6th of 2015.
Okay, so 2 years. Only two, March of 2015. So 3 years. It'll be 3 years in March. I can't believe we're this close to 2018.
I know. It's insane. Brace yourselves.
And I love how Duncan Keith says Cammie, because it's so Canadian.
Yeah.
Cammie, Cammie. Cammie Can. They are, Cammie is a little girl who lives locally in the western suburbs. She has Rett syndrome. And Cammie Can is their foundation, because Cammie can overcome Rett syndrome. So many of these little girls can. But what's remarkable about this family is, one, they're incredibly positive. And by the way, that video on YouTube has been viewed more than 25 million times.
Yeah, it has a lot of views on it.
A lot of views. And it's because there's different incarnations of it. There's like the 5-minute version. There's the 90-second version.
But the whole version in general is on YouTube, and you can go
catch it. And it's, all of those are worth viewing. The Blackhawks do it right.
Goal, you know, and What's Your Goal.
What's Your Goal is just amazing.
Their I guess, public relations team is just top-notch when it comes to reaching out. And
their whole organization is, and this is not something we're paid to say.
No,
this
it's not.
This is not, because we just wouldn't be talking about them if we didn't want to. But the Blackhawks do it right.
Recently they had Make-A-Wish, I think, with a little kid named Sebastian, who was a Blackhawks fan in Florida. And he went and saw them play in Florida. And then he also came up to Chicago. He rode on the team plane, got to ride, see
God
all the players,
bless,
and
I love the Blackhawks.
Got to practice with the team and all that extra stuff. So
I haven't seen that one yet. I have to find it.
I'll pull up the audio
okay,
and we can play some of it.
That'll give me something we can do during commercial.
There you go.
So aside from the Chicago Blackhawks always being a feel-good story, because I just love everything they do, the family, Cammie's family, and you can follow them on Facebook at Cammie Can, C-A-M-M-Y-C-A-N. Her mom, leading up to the holidays, because she had nothing else going on with two small children, and she's a part-time teacher. She made pillowcases. She made Christmas pillowcases. Lots of them.
Yeah.
And then they went to Central DuPage Hospital. She and Ryan, who's Cammie's little sister, who I believe she's in first grade, because I want her to be best friends with my daughter, who's also in first grade. Because not for any other reason other than Ryan is the coolest kid.
Yeah.
She's just so awesome. So Jackie and Ryan went to Central DuPage Hospital this morning and delivered these pillowcases, these Christmas pillowcases, to the kids in the pediatric units.
That is, first off, amazing, and also insane. How many did you say that they made?
She probably made 20 some. She had a whole stack of them. I saw a picture on Facebook.
But you know what, though? When you think about it, especially for families that are in the hospital, it's kind of like the little things. You know, like, who would think, like, a pillowcase would go such a long way and kind of bring in, you know, some sort of, whether normalcy or joy into a family.
It's something.
It's definitely the little things in life that can get you, or make a family who may be, you know, going through different struggles or, you know, in the hospital, that sort of thing, and can get them in a better
mood. And they know it.
Because
they've lived this with Cammie. There have been holidays that she's been in the hospital, so they want to pay that forward, bring a little happy and a little joy. So she posted it on Cammie's page, Cammie Can, and people said, you know what, my kid was in the hospital 7 years ago on Christmas, and he still has, it's his favorite pillowcase. It's his favorite.
Yeah.
And so this is, and you were just saying something about how families are sometimes in the hospital. My son was born January 7th, so his birthday is approaching, mm-hmm. and he was in the NICU.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And so, like, January 7th, we were all standing around this isolette, being very, very scared, very frightened. He was very, very ill. And the nurses were like, hey, we have leftover Christmas presents from donations.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's great. But save them for other people. We're okay. We'll be okay. But thank you. But little things like quilts that people make and afghans, like mm-hmm. women. My mom, I've encouraged her to do this for years. She knits and crochets a ton.
Oh, wow.
I'm always like, take all this extra yarn you have and make little baby quilts for mm-hmm. the NICUs. I'll drive them all over. So that's another great thing that people do that really is very, very under known.
Yeah.
Right.
And underappreciated, I guess, too.
Oh,
a little bit.
I would say the families appreciate. We all appreciate it.
Well, the family appreciates it, but I think
I still have both of my kids were in the NICU, and I still have both of their quilts that came from the hospital with them. Both of their little afghans.
Mine or not. I know my mom has a blanket of Peter Cottontail that I had from like years ago.
From when you
ago.
Were a baby blanket?
Yeah, but I don't know.
I have some of their baby blankets. Like if they're special, they're super cute. But the ones from the hospital mean something different.
Yeah, I don't know if my mom has any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the ones that were like above their isolettes in the NICU.
Yeah.
And like someone cared enough to take care of a baby that they were never going to meet.
Yeah.
And that was, there's... There's love there that's very different. So 312-981-7200. Do we have any other texts coming in for feel good stories?
None right now.
Okay,
but the last one, of course, was about the two twins.
Yeah,
if you want to text in? It's the same number as Hannah just said, 981-7200. 312 area code. So go ahead.
Yes, Curtis
text
Cook.
Us in, and if you text us, I will reply to you because I'm in charge of the text and the phones.
I know. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Very exciting. You're like, I just graduated college and I'm in charge of 50,000 square watts. I just said square watts because you can tell I'm always at the hardware store. that's how I roll is I'm always doing square footage. So my last story that made me happy today that I read was a teacher who made 650 handmade scarves.
Handmade scarves.
Yeah.
How long do you think that takes to make?
Well, I will tell you, Jeffrey Thomas... he is in Indianapolis, and he wanted to do something nice for his students. He realized in his first year teaching that, and he's a special education teacher.
Oh, okay.
So
cool.
I
have a special place for that.
You got to be a special
members.
Person to be a special education teacher.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So he said that his school family and the students welcomed him in, but sometimes his students would arrive in near freezing temperatures, dressed in nothing more than a sweatshirt. So he would coupon clip and find all of these fleece fabrics that he was able to. We went through two cutting mats, several pairs of scissors, and cut more than 100 yards of fabric down to 8-inch wide fleece scarves. And he made them in more than 50 patterns so that the kids had their choice. He handed out a scarf to all 600-plus students in his elementary school.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just said earlier, I wonder how long it takes him to make on that per scarf, but just, you know, the dedication to really have the drive to go ahead and make that many scarves,
I mean,
too.
Honestly, I don't know how simplistic they were. They look like the picture that is shown, each has fringed edges, so he clipped every single edge. Even if he did... I don't know, 8 inches across by, let's say, 3 feet or so for elementary school kids, which would probably be plenty. That's still effort.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he necessarily stitched anything.
And scarves are one of those, like, important winter wear attire, especially for, like, the
coldness.
You
saw me walking in. Yeah, I have an infinity scarf that's double wrapped, and I can wear it like a balaclava. There's all kinds of things. But you're absolutely right. My kids leave without scarves. I'm like, what are you doing? Why? There's a whole chest area that needs to be covered. It just doesn't get the kind of coverage. So these fleece scarves, he said he felt like Oprah. You get a scarf and you get a scarf and you get a scarf. What a great thing and what a neat thing. I love that he was clipping coupons. That's just so sweet. But that's a lot of fabric.
Yeah. And you know what? You hear about stories with teachers and principal and school faculty. I've seen it more so now than I think I have when I was in school, and especially at a younger age, about how teachers are more so trying to help, you know, their students, whether it be like if a student is hungry, you know, they bring them in like, you know, a sandwich every day or something like that. Or,
absolutely.
You know, if a student is, you know, really struggling, they spend the extra hour after school to make sure that they're catching up with everything.
Yeah, there were, I remember very vividly my mom and I, my mom was a teacher, and there was a family that, needed everything. Mm-hmm. And one year we went out and I was like, who are we shopping for? And she's like, just a family. She didn't want me to know who it was. And we bought snow pants and jackets and mittens and everything. And then it just went away. And they, a few of the other teachers helped too. Mm-hmm. And they just dropped it on the doorstep. No one ever knew where it came from.
Even something as like school supplies too.
Yeah.
So, like essentials that students and kids need to, you know, go through elementary school and go through all that sort of stuff. Having, you know, make sure they have a pencil or a pen to write with, and, you know, or colored pencils to color when they're doing projects and that sort of stuff.
And I'll actually give out a website for that as well. But this teacher has actually started a website to help people either do more like he has, or you can make donations so that he can do this for other schools. And the website is very simply scarvesforstudents.org.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. Not necessarily something you need in the South.
Can you make donations on
Absolutely.
The website and everything? So there you go. If you want to feel really good, or if you're still in the Christmas spirit,
yes,
go ahead and help them out.
Or you want to start the new year off right by helping out, you can do that. I'm looking at my the website I want to share with other people about school supplies, because there's a really, really good organization called Back to School Illinois. Mm-hmm. And it's B2, the letter B, mm-hmm. 2, the number 2, SI.org. And it's Back to School Illinois. And what they do is put together back to school supply packs for grade appropriate. And so these kids are able to go back to school with all of their school supplies, just like any other student. And they've actually done studies that they do better on their test scores because they have more positive self-esteem. They have positive. They feel like they belong.
Yeah.
They're worthy. They're deserving of their education. So and Back to School Illinois.
That helps the students and, you know, even just going through school, having that confidence to be able to know that, you know, I can solve this math equation. You know, I can divide. You
Absolutely.
Know, I can do all this other stuff.
Yeah, they you know, feel it, worthy.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think that also helps them motivate to want to, you know, get into
work harder and
higher
do
education.
More. Absolutely.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
They belong.
Exactly.
So B2SI.org. That's an excellent organization. Continue, if you will, 312-981-7200. The things that made you feel good. Here's what's coming up on this show. We're going to talk about the man flu. It's such a weird change of pace from what we're talking about. That's really a thing. And believe me, anytime I can say immunologically inferior on the air, I'm
you're
gonna
taking
do
advantage
it.
Of it. Yep.
That's a thing that's going to really happen. The flu is everywhere, and we're going to tell you how to prevent it and where places to avoid. Boy, Facebook is making me crazy again.
Did you get your flu shot?
I did.
You did? I did too.
All right. Okay. So we're going to talk about that. Let's talk about the flu next when we come back. But again, we're still taking your texts if you have feel-good stories. You can text them in all night. We'll get back to them. Hannah Stanley filling in for Nick DiGilio. More right after this on WGN. It's a little staccato. Boy, when I told you go deep on Beastie Boys, that's solid.
You know what? That was what they had, so I figured
there it
why
is.
Not.
There it is. We can do Sabotage. We can go Intergalactic. That's pretty good, too. That's going to happen. No Sleep Till Brooklyn's in there? I'm just looking and saying.
Yeah, No Sleep Till Brooklyn. She's crafty.
Oh, she gets around. That's what they say. That's what I've heard. So here's the thing. The flu is everywhere.
Yeah, can you explain the man flu to me? I don't know.
Oh, we're going to get to the man flu.
Okay, cool.
We're getting to the man flu. Don't you worry about the man flu. But the actual flu is rearing its other ugly
head.
Yeah,
you know what? I was kind of worried before Christmas came along because I had a few friends that got sick with the flu.
And was it full-on influenza? Because it is horrible.
I should say they had symptoms of the flu. Okay. I shouldn't say that they were diagnosed with the flu.
All right.
But they had symptoms of the flu.
And I'm not doubting that they did.
No, of course. I'm not either. But just the fact that they had symptoms and I didn't want to catch it right before Christmas.
No, for sure. Especially because we work so much during these like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Especially like the part-timers among us. This is like our lives right here.
Yeah, I'm going to be back here later on with the download. I'm here literally every day until New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
so.
I think last year I filled in for Anna DeVlantas and then I slept during the download and then I filled in for Patty Vasquez. There was like, I think I did like 17 hours of radio.
There are some prime comfy couches to sleep on if you ever need a good nap.
Yeah, we know
like
where
that.
To hide. There's places among here. University of Chicago Hospital, so University of Chicago Medicine, they just announced that they're making temporary changes to visitor policy because illnesses, the amount of illness of the flu, incidences of the flu, has spiked but it doesn't start until Wednesday.
Why is that starting until Wednesday? Is it maybe because they're on holiday break?
Possibly, but what I'm thinking is because they're seeing it coming. And so what they're doing is they're like, yeah, no, this is going to hit hard Wednesday or Friday, so we need to start Wednesday. So Wednesday at 7 a.m., which is December 27th, so tomorrow, children under the age of 12 forbidden to come as a visitor to the hospital. And anyone with a fever, cough, sore throat, runny nose, or nasal congestion, they would ban me two parking lots out. I would not be any. I don't have a fever, but this whole like thing going on.
I get that from their perspective, you know, because especially when you've got, you know, patients with so many different illnesses going on, the last thing you want them to catch is.
Well, and University of Chicago's got some heavily ill people.
No, and I that's what I'm saying. Yep. The last thing you want them to catch on top of what they already have is the flu.
Yeah. So the hospital said many visitors, including especially children, may not know they have the flu because they're exposed to it at school and they're carriers, but they haven't gotten symptomatic yet.
I wonder what they would do if any of their staff, you know what I mean? If they're banning visitors, but if their staff come in?
Their staff, think would be... That's a great question.
Yeah.
But they're far more
informed. Yeah, that's what I would assume. So they would know ahead of time if they have
probably
something.
They're for sure flu shotted up.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so even though, but I had my flu shot last year and still got influenza.
I did too. You know
no
what?
One else in my family got it, just me, but it was brutal.
And you know what? It's funny because I didn't get like the full out flu, but I definitely got like sick. And it was only like for maybe a 24, 48 hour period. I didn't get like stomach flu sick or any of that sort of stuff. I definitely had like a fever and a cough.
No, this is respiratory flu.
Yeah.
Influenza. So I had the fever and the achy, like my face hurt.
Yeah.
It's killing me. but no, they, it was, and I finally went to the doctor, I don't know, let's say day three, day four, and I'm coughing. And I said, I think I have a sinus infection. I'm really prone to sinus infections. And the doctor at urgent care is nodding her head. No, like shaking her head. No. As she's reaching for a mask. And she's like, no, you have flu. You have influenza.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? No, I don't. And she was like, please cough into your elbow.
Like, dang.
I had influenza and it was aggressive. So I would get up, get the kids ready for school, drive them to school, come home. And so I drop them at, I don't know, 8:30. By 8:35, I was back in bed. And I had set the alarm for 2:30 so I would have enough time to get them to pick them up from school. Because that's how bad it was. I was sleeping all day.
Yeah. And I know when it comes to the flu shot, there are people that don't really care to get the flu shot.
Well, and there's some people who are allergic because it's egg-based.
Of course.
Whatever.
Yeah. But if I don't know if there's any particular reason to not get your flu shot. I mean, I know a lot of people, like, for how we were saying that we both got a little sick from the shot, if that's a factor into that. But that'd be an interesting text or phone conversation sort
sure.
of thing.
Sure. I mean, a lot of people think you can get sick from the flu shot. You can't. It's dead virus.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about man flu next. We're going to talk about it after the break.
Yeah, I need an explanation.
Because this is a full segment. But by the way, Arizona... 800% the flu is up.
What?
So if you're coming or going from Arizona, just put a mask on now.
So was there, like, nobody in Arizona that had the flu because it's so hot out there, and then all of a sudden there's
I think what happens is there's no cold weather, so it doesn't die. Like, it doesn't kill the virus.
True. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So here it's so dry, and it's cold, and so we're all bundled up, and we're all inside, and that's where... But out in Arizona, everybody's out and touching each other, and it just doesn't... You can't kill off that virus. So Arizona, just don't go.
Jeez, 800%.
So they're freaking out in Arizona. University of Chicago is taking appropriate responsibility and banning certain types of visitors, and they're masking everybody. When I went with the laryngitis, I went to the hospital or the urgent care. They made me mask because I coughed while I was in the lobby. And it was just because you get the post-nasal drip and it makes you cough.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that's attractive. That's something you like to talk about is post-nasal drip at 3 a.m. But they were like, no, you have an upper respiratory infection and laryngitis. And my doctor was like, you can take your mask off now because you're not.
Interesting.
You're not going to. You don't have influenza. but that was, as soon as I started coughing, they were like, and here you go. And please Purell.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I didn't mind. I didn't, I get it. Be prepared and be aware of that. But the flu virus or the flu shot is dead. So when it is injected, you cannot get sick to it or get sick from it. Here's what happens though. If you're already fighting something or you're exposed to something really fast afterwards, it takes 2 weeks before you build up the antibodies. So if you get sick within 2 weeks of having flu, of having your flu shot, you can get the flu, but you didn't get the flu from the flu shot. You weren't fully protected against influenza.
That makes sense.
Yeah. My daughter was diagnosed with influenza 13 days after she got the shot 1 year.
Wow.
And they were like, it's 2 weeks. She probably got it 2 days ago. And she just hadn't built up the defenses.
The defenses.
Yeah, that sucked. So definitely if you haven't, there's still time to get your flu shot and build up your immunity. You can get it everywhere. Walgreens, CVS,
Walgreens,
Target, Walmart, they all have them. And I've heard they're okay this year.
Yeah.
Some years they're like, we missed it big time.
Uh-huh.
But it's apparently they're supposed to be really good.
Well, but also on top of that, too, it takes like a 5-minute process, you know what I mean, or a 10-minute process.
It's easy.
You're not spending, you know, a half hour appointment at a doctor's office for it. You can go in.
No,
get
you can
out,
call your doctor and typically just get a flu shot.
Yeah,
that's what I did. I went in and the nurse did it, and then I walked out.
Yeah, and then you have the rest of your day to go do whatever, go to Portillo's or go get some other sort of stuff. You
go buy yourself some chocolate cake at Portillo's. You deserve
it. Treat yourself.
Flu shot person, good for you getting that flu shot. It's apparently the way it's looking in Arizona and the way University of Chicago is already preparing themselves.
Yeah.
This is something we need to really steel ourselves up against. So we're washing our hands. We're covering our noses. Mm-hmm. We're doing all that good stuff.
Doing all that extra precaution.
And we're talking about man flu when we get back.
Yeah, you still have to explain this to me.
Man flu, nothing but man flu. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.